Dominoes, Level 3, The Count of Monte Cristo, by Alexandra Dumas. Text adaptation by Claire West. Read by Tyler Butterworth, Danica Fairman, Candida Gubbins, Janita Jimenez, Joe Hall, John Hasler, Stephen Kinman, Roger May, Francis Middleditch, Chris Milne, Willow Nash, Paul Panting, Nigel Pilkington, Chris Rowe, William Rycroft, David Shaw Parker, and Mandy Weston. Published and copyright Oxford University Press, 2010.
Chapter 1. A Wicked Plan. On February the 24th, 1815, a ship called the Pharaon sailed into Marseille, the largest port in the south of France. People ran to the waterside to welcome it, because the arrival of a ship is always a great excitement in Marseille, especially if it belongs to an owner from the town. A young man was standing on the deck, watching the sails and giving careful orders to the sailors. He was between 18 and 20 years old, tall, with fine dark eyes and fair hair. His calm face showed that danger meant nothing to him. The ship's owner, Monsieur Morel, could not wait for the ship to arrive in port and jumped into a small boat.
"Take me to the Pharaon,"
he ordered his men. And soon he was on the ship's deck.
"Welcome home, Dantès,"
he said to the young man.
"But where is Captain Leclerc?"
"It's very sad, monsieur,"
replied Edmond Dantès, taking off his hat.
"We lost our good captain between Naples and Rome."
"And the cargo?"
asked the owner worriedly.
"It's all safe, monsieur. But poor Captain Leclerc died very suddenly after a short illness. We gave him a sailor's funeral, and there he rests, on the Mediterranean seabed."
"Well, we all have to die at some time. As long as the cargo..."
"All is well with it, monsieur. But here is Monsieur Dongler, who takes care of that side of things. You can ask him."
The owner turned to a man of about 25, with a dark, unsmiling face. The sailors hated him as much as they loved Dantès.
"Well, monsieur,"
said Danglars,
"you've heard the bad news."
"Yes, yes, poor Captain Leclerc. A fine, honest man."
"And an excellent sailor. Just the kind of man for an important company like Morel and Son,"
answered Danglars.
"Yes, although it's good to see that Dantès can take the captain's place so well,"
said Morel, watching Edmund.
"Well,"
said Danglars, looking at Dantès with hatred in his eyes.
"He's young and confident. But he made us lose a day and a half by stopping at the island of Elba for no good reason."
"Did he?"
replied Morel, surprised.
"That was wrong of him. Dantès,"
he called,
"come over here. I'd like a word with you."
The young man came closer.
"Yes, monsieur?"
he asked.
"I wanted to ask why you stopped at the island of Elba."
"Monsieur, I had to obey Captain Leclerc's last order. As he lay dying, he told me to take a letter to the Emperor Napoleon, who's living on Elba. And that's what I did."
"Young man,"
said Morel,
"you did well to obey your captain. but perhaps you'll get into trouble for it. The king and his friends will be angry if they hear you've taken a letter to their worst enemy.
I only obeyed an order. Is that all, monsieur?
I think the emperor gave him a letter to take to someone in Paris,
Danglars whispered in the shipowner's ear.
I saw it.
If Dantès has a letter, he'll tell me about it,
replied Morrel confidently.
Dantès, you're free to go now. Can you come and have dinner at my house this evening?
Thank you for your kind invitation, monsieur. But the first thing I must do is visit my father. He's an old man now.
You're a good son, Dantès. And you have another person to visit, perhaps? A lover? The beautiful Mercedes?
We are not lovers, monsieur.
The young man replied seriously.
She is my fiancée. We hope to marry very soon.
Well, go now, Dantès. And in 3 months' time, come back to see me. The Pharian will be ready for the next trip.
And Morrel put his hand on Edmund's shoulder.
With its new captain.
Oh, monsieur!
Cried Edmund in delight.
Thank you 1,000 times. It's my dearest wish.
And with this wonderful news in his head, the young man walked quickly away from the waterside and into the narrow streets of the old town. Soon, he came to a small house and hurried up the dark stairs to his father's room. Here he spent several hours with his father, making sure that the old man had everything that he needed. Then, Edmund hurried out of Marseille towards a fishing village. Mercedes, a lovely young girl with dark hair and beautiful soft eyes, was standing in her living room, looking dreamily out of the window at the sea. She was thinking of Edmund. Behind her, a tall young man was speaking to her.
Please, Mercedes,
he was saying,
think about our wedding. You know how much I love you. Give me your answer.
You've had it 100 times, Fernand,
the girl replied.
I love you like a brother, but my heart belongs to another man.
But I've dreamed of being your husband for 10 years, Mercedes. Don't take away that hope. Say yes to me.
Fernand, I love Edmund Dantès. I will marry no other man.
Perhaps he'll die. Or perhaps he's forgotten you.
Mercedes!
Cried a happy voice outside.
Mercedes!
Ah!
Cried the girl, running to the door in delight.
You see? He hasn't forgotten me. Edmund! I'm here!
Suddenly, Edmund and Mercedes were in each other's arms. At first, their happiness cut them off from the rest of the world, and they saw nothing of what was around them. But then, Edmund noticed Fernand, who had a dangerous-looking knife in his left hand.
Who is this?
Edmund asked Mercedes.
He will be your best friend, Edmund, because he's my very dear cousin. This is Fernand.
Edmund smiled and put out his hand. But Fernand, his face dark and full of hatred, did not move. Mercedes stepped forward.
Fernand, put that knife away and remember this,
she said, her eyes shining angrily.
If anything happens to Edmund, I shall kill myself. Now, you're going to shake hands with him, like a friend.
Slowly, Fernand offered his right hand. But as soon as Edmund touched it, he ran out of the house.
What can I do? What can I do?
Fernand cried wildly.
Stop a minute,
called Danglars, who was sitting under a tree with a bottle of wine.
You look unhappy. Have a drink with me.
Without really knowing what he was doing, Fernand sat down on the grass and drank the wine.
So, your lovely cousin Mercedes has decided, has she?
Said Danglars.
She's going to marry Edmond Dantès, is she?
Yes, and I can't stop it,
cried Fernand angrily.
But you can if you want to, my friend,
said Danglars.
Let me show you what to do. Just write a short letter to Monsieur Villefort, the Crown Prosecutor. In the letter, you say that Dantès is an enemy of our king because he's visited the wicked Napoleon on the island of Elba and even carries a letter from him. You see, it's easy.
But if I do that, Edmund will die.
Who knows? Perhaps he'll go to prison. But what does it matter? You'll have the lovely Mercedes.
And to himself, Danglars was thinking,
this will stop Dantès becoming captain of the Pharaon.
Danglars' wicked plan worked well. The next day was Edmund's wedding day. But just as he and Mercedes were getting ready to go to the church, Edmund was arrested. Danglars smiled to himself as he watched the police take the young man away.